In these three manifestations, I deliver the Baddha Jivas. So, in the previous section, Krishna was describing his vibhutis. So that's like his Brahma, you know, mayatatam idam sarvam. In his unmanifest form, he's pervading the universes, the planets, and so forth. And as Bhagavan, as Paramatma, he enters into the heart and he gives knowledge and forgetfulness. And as Bhagavan, he expands as Vedavyas and writes the Vedas. So he says that in these three manifestations, as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, I am helping the conditioned souls and I deliver them. So we see that there's also another. So we see that the verses like from 6 to 18 are describing this Brahma. Verse 19 describes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of going backwards now. There's a distribution of the descriptions of the Lord as Brahma, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan in this and the preceding verses, as I just described. But now there's something else, and Prabhupada describes this, that there is sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan also. And that is in the subsequent verses, the following verses. I will read from Prabhupada's commentary. It's towards the end of the commentary, the last bit, last few sentences. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing him. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra confirms this in the following words, Tattu Samanvayat. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by performing the different processes, one can approach him. And at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here you have relationship, process, and goal, which is sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan, described twice in the same section. And we also have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was just describing Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and his commentary to text 15, describing that Vedavyasa is Bhagavan, and the Lord is really Sannivishta as Paramatma, and then he is also Gama Vishya, Chabutani, and all of those other things as Brahma. Right. Starting with verse 12. So, so the next section of this chapter is actually a summary of Vedanta. Oh, can you bring me my VTE notebook that has the sections? It should be on the blanket next to the on the floor. I don't think I have been giving you the sections of this chapter so far. But we'll give that to you at the end, I guess. But in any case, the next section is from 16 to the end. And this is the Tri Shloki Gita that Lord Krishna is summarizing the Vedanta philosophy in three verses. In chapter 10, we had the Chatur Shloki, Gita, which was the essence, a summary of the essence of the Gita. And now we have a summary of Vedanta, because now we're in the Jnana section, right? So now this Trishloki Gita is summarizing all of Vedic knowledge in three verses. And as it has been... So this knowledge is Sambandha Jnana from verses 6 to 18. This is the summary of Vedanta. 16, 17, and 18. And verse 19 describes engaging in full devotional service. So that is the Abhideya. Thank you. And Sasaravid bhajati mam. And the last verse describes the prayojan, that the person's endeavors will know perfection. And he'll be buddhiman. He'll become buddhiman. Intelligent. And Prabhupada has now alluded to this in the purport to text 15. And so did Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a different way. Alluded to this Trishloki Gita in his commentary. So then Arjuna says to Krishna, since you are the knower and the compiler of the Vedas, please explain the real purpose of the Vedas, my Lord. Because he said, Vedanta Krit, Vedavit. So he says, well, you know Vedanta. Please explain the real essence of the Vedas, of Vedanta. So now he gives a summary of all of the Vedas, of the Vedanta teachings, in three verses. Trishloki Gita. Oh, where's my computer? Oh. We're going to need this now. Text 16. Dva ima purusho lauki ksharas chakshara ibacha kshara sarvani bhutani kutasto kshara uchate. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. So this first verse is describing Brahma. And there is, in this verse, describing Kshara and Akshara. This word loke here doesn't mean in the world, as usually does, but it means in the Vedas. So he says that that there are two kinds of persons here. Of course, the word loke can also be translated in the world. But anyway, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says like this. And so there's the kshara and akshara, two kinds, fallible and infallible. Yeah. Baladeva Vidyabhushan has commented on this verse, and Prabhupada follows him as usual, especially when there's some controversy. So here's the commentary of Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Krishna briefly states the message of the Vedas, which he ascertained himself in his form as Vyas. There are two Purushas who are presented in the Vedas. Here loka means the Vedas. Lokyate tatra manena. Loka means that by which the tattva is seen. By this is being hinted that the distinction between the two is established on the ground of solid evidence, pramana. Who are these two? In answer to this, Krishna says, Kshara and Akshara. He's called Kshara because his body becomes ruined or depleted. He's bound and lives in various conditions. He's referred to in the singular because he has the connection with the one condition of being in contact with dead matter. So he's actually describing all of the jivas, all of the bada jivas. On the other hand, the akshara, because he doesn't have those conditions, is always in one status. He's liberated. He's described in the singular because of his one qualifying feature of being disconnected from dead matter. The idea of fallible and infallible is further clarified. All beings from Brahma down to the immovable creatures are all kshara. The kutastha, however, is always in the same condition. See, the kutastha is referring to the infallible entity. We understand the reference in the singular form according to the logic already stated, and as previously mentioned, bahavo jnana tapasa. Many became liberated. So it's the verse is in the singular form, all these nouns, but that's because you're talking about one class of living entity, right? Like if someone says the tatastha jiva, it means all of the tatastha jivas, right? So in the same way, Krishna is using this kind of language. And also it is said, idam jnana upashataha, talks about a plurality of liberated jivas. So here it's very clear from Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary that he's talking about two kinds of jiva souls. The word kutastha, according to the Amura Kosha dictionary, defines kutastha as someone who remains in the same form throughout all phases of time. Ekarupastha in Sanskrit it's mentioned. Prabhupada writes in his commentary, this is in the middle of the first paragraph, those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are called infallible. Oneness does not mean that they have no individuality, but that there is no disunity. They are all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. So he continues, according to the statement of the Lord, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas give evidence of this, and so there's no doubt. The living entities who are struggling in this world with the mind and five senses have their material bodies, which are changing. Krishna mentioned this in text 7. As long as the living entity is conditioned, his body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter, therefore there is no change. So, Srila Prabhupada and Baladeva Vidyabhushan are presenting basically the same idea, that there's the bada jivas and the nitya mukta jivas. The nitya bada jivas and nitya mukta jivas. But we have another opinion. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur both say that this akshara entity is Parabrahman, the supreme, all-pervading form of God. And I will read to you Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. He says, because I am alone the knower of the Vedas, I'm going to tell you in brief the essential understanding of the Vedas. Please listen, Arjuna. Now, he says, this is Vishwanath's commentary. In the world consisting of 14 planetary systems, there are two kinds of Purushas or living beings. Who are they? Krishna answers that the fallible Jiva, who is called so because he falls from his original swarup. And the other one is Brahma, the absolute truth, who is akshara. He does not fall from his original position. This is stated in the Shruti mantras. Etad vayetad aksharam gargi brahmana vividit santi. This is from I have this reference somewhere. This akshara, infallible Brahman, is understood by Brahmanas, O daughter of Garga. Oh, where's my... I have a reference to this. This verse is actually referred to in Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I have a reference to this verse. Okay, here it is. Yes, it is in the from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. There's a conversation between Yajnavalkya, Gargi, who is the daughter of Garga, and Maitreya Muni. And I found this reference in Jiva Dharma. And so it is said there that the word akshara is referring to Brahma, the supreme Brahman. And this, Vishnuad continues, and this is seen also from the Smriti. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. Here the word akshara also refers to Brahman, the absolute truth, according to Vishnuad Chakravarti, because that was his comment on that verse also. If you remember, there was different ideas about that, remember? Between the two entities, Shara and Akshara, the first one who falls down from his sarup becomes subservient to the laws of karma. One of the two is the jiva who is referred to in the verse Sarva Bhutani. That jiva falls from his position because of his beginningless avidya, and he becomes subordinate to the rule of karma. He comprises the samashti, the amalgamation of all the jivas from Lord Brahma down to the non-moving living entities. That is, the second Purusha is the infallible, who is Kutastha. Amarakosha defines Kutastha as someone who remains in the same form throughout all phases of time. So we have two very clearly different glosses on this verse. On the left, we have Srila Prabhupada and Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who is the Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya. And on the right, we have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What can we do? Let's see. They both have the opposing idea. So, as usual, Srila Prabhupada follows Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his comment. But, as you can see, there is some scope for understanding this as Brahman. So, let us just say, for the sake of presenting Vedanta, that this is Brahman. Because the next verse describes Paramatma, and then the third verse describes Bhagavan. So it becomes a very neat package, like this. Of course, the living entity is also Brahma. He's also Akshara Brahma, at least in his original state. And he becomes Kshara Brahma when he falls from his original constitutional position. But anyway, Aham Brahmasmi. We are spirit. So in any case, the first verse is describing Brahma, and there are two forms of that, Akshara and Kshara Brahma. So you can look at it in a broad way like that. In this way you can encompass and accommodate both views of the Acharyas, because we don't want to take sides. We might get in trouble. So, the next verse is described now. Uttama purushastvanya paramatmetyudharitah yoloka trayam avishya bibhartyavyaya ishvarah. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. So the word two indicates that you have something quite different than the previous verse, right? Anya. There's another, which is much different. And he is also a Purusha, but he is Uttama Purusha. Verse 16 said, Dvau Purushau. There's two Purushas, right, in this world, or in the Vedas. And so here is the Uttama Purusha. Who is that? Paramatmetyudharita. As we said once, Prabhupada called him the Madhyam Purusha. But here is the Uttam Purusha. So now what is his speciality? Lokatrayam Avishya. He has entered into the three worlds. And Bibharti. He's maintaining them. And he is Ishvara, the Avyaya Ishvara, inexhaustible Lord. So Vishwanath and Baladev both say the Lord is called Ishvara because he has an inexhaustible nature by which he protects and maintains the three worlds. He enters into them to carry out these functions of maintenance. We know that Lord Vishnu is in charge of maintenance, right? And he's also protecting. That's part of his, as a ruler, as the supreme leader of the universe. He must protect also. That's why he has his garda and chakra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the jiva is called kshara purusha because his nature is tatashta. Thus, he has the tendency to fall from his constitutional position. The svangsha tattva, who never fall down from their sarup, are called akshara purusha. So the akshara purusha manifests in three ways: Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. That's his comment. And he also says that the second akshara purusha, Paramatma, is superior to the first akshara purusha, Brahma. He is Ishvara. Yeah. Well, according to this comment, anyway. In his commentary, he calls it the first akshara purusha is Brahma. But here he's Ishvara. So this second one is superior to the first one, which described in 16. There are some kshara jivas out there playing in the home. They have fallen from their original swarup. Prabhupada quotes the famous verse, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. So it gives a very clear distinction between the other Purushas and this Uttama Purusha. Right? Because there's this one living entity who is eternal and he's maintaining all of the rest. Eko Bahonam Yo Vadadati Kaman. He's providing and for all of the desires of all the living beings. Let us look at the tikkas by our acharyas here. Who should we read first? Let's read Baladeva Vidyabhishan's first, because his is the same as Prabhupada's. He, on account of whom the two Purushas have been described, that person is now described with the verse beginning with Uttama. There is another person different from the Kshara and Akshara. He is not one of the two of them. One should not create such an idea. When this verse states that he is called Paramatma, this is actually stating the corroboration of the Shruti. His quality described here justifies his being called Uttama. He is the one who enters the three worlds and maintains them. This act of ruling in terms of protecting and maintaining the universe is not an activity of the bound jiva because it has nothing to do with karma. It is also not an activity of the mukta jiva either, according to the statement of Vedanta, jagat vipara varajam. The mukta jiva's perfection does not include creating and ruling entire universes. So that is considering that the verse 16 is describing mukta purusha. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, having described Brahman, who is worshipped by the Gyanis, now Paramatma, who is worshipped by the Yogis, is described in this verse. The word two is used here in order to indicate a distinction from what was previously described. And we can infer from the fact that the Yogis are better than the Gyanis. That's stated at the end of the sixth chapter, right? Verse 46, right? And there's a difference, also a difference of the object worship. The Paramatma Tattva is elucidated here. He is Ishvara. His nature is to be the controller. He's Avyaya, not undergoing any transformations. He enters, maintains, and protects the three worlds. Now, next verse. Yasmat kshadam matito ham aksharat apichottamaha atosmi loke vede cha pratita purushottamaha. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. I am the greatest. No one else can say that. There was one boxer in America who used to say that, Cassius Clay. I think that was his name. I am the greatest. The best fighter for a few years at least. Now he's no longer the greatest. But Krishna is still the greatest. And he's Atita. He's above the kshara and akshara. And he's uttama. I am the greatest. Atosmi loke vede cha. Says, I am pratita, celebrated in the world and in the Vedas as Purushottam. So the word cha indicates that Krishna is superior even to the personality of Godhead, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan. And according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So only Krishna is actually called Purushottama, not even Lord Narayan. And Sanatana Goswami has written, he defines Purushottama as he who is endowed with all 64 arts. Here, Prabhupada writes in his commentary, the word loke signifies in the Paurusha Agama, in the Smritis. Because that means like what they call, you know, like Lokik Shastra, or, you know, Agamas and Puranas, like this. Like worldly, not worldly, but of this world, loke. That's where the word loke before was referring to the Vedas also, at least according to the Baladev. And of course here now you have the word Vede also. So in the world and in the Vedas. So it could mean in the Smriti and the Shruti Shastras also. Another meaning. The last sentence of Prabhupada's commentary says that Supreme Personality also has a localized aspect of Paramatma. By incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parashara, he explains the Vedic knowledge as Vyas. So he's referring to verse 15, going back there. And that, as following Bhaktivinoda Thakur's comment, so Prabhupada said the word Uttama here is very significant. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says that in the first sentence also of his purport. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the third and topmost akshara purusha is called Bhagavan. I am that very Bhagavan. I am transcendental to the Kshara and even superior to the Kshara Purusha and even superior to the Akshara Purushas, Brahma and Paramatma. I am therefore celebrated as Purushottam. This Siddhanta should be understood. There are two Purushas, Kshara and Akshara. Akshara Purusha has three manifestations. The general manifestation is Brahman. A higher manifestation is Paramatma. And the supreme manifestation is Bhagavan. So he's quite emphatic about it. This Siddhanta should be understood. Yes. So, now, we're coming to the close. Did we read 18? Should we read 18? It's quite long. Vishwanath Chakravarti really goes on and on. What should I do? Huh? I'm your servants, huh? No? Skip it? Read it? You want me to read it? Okay, 18. Let's see, I'll read Baladev's first. Now Krishna describes his own identity by explaining the meaning of name Purushottam in this verse. Uttam means the most excellent. Loke means in the scriptures composed by humans. According to the definition, Lokyate Vedartonena. By this one can see the meaning of the Vedas. Vede means in such statements of Shruti. And he gives Chandogya Upanishad verse, which says, then the self-satisfied self rises out of this body and appears as the supreme light. He manifests his own original identity. He is the supreme person. And it's Chandogya Upanishad. That one who is declared pratita, the supreme light, is endowed with the quality of self-satisfaction. He is the supreme person. He is also declared to be such in the worldly scriptures, such as the Skanda Purana. He quotes, ter vigyapita karyastu bhagavan purushottama avatirno mahayogi satyavatyam parasharat. Thus entreated by the demigods, the supreme personality of Godhead Bhagavan descended as the greatest of yogis, the son of Parashara, in the womb of Satyavati. Mirvyaski. So this is, you can see, this Prabhupada got this idea from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Having described the Paramatma who is worshipped by the yogis, now he describes the personality of Godhead who is worshipped by devotees. In addition to his being the personality of Godhead in his original identity, Krishna, he explains how he has the name Purushottam. This he does by describing his super excellence in the verse beginning Yasmat. I am transcendental to the fallible person, the Jivatma, and also superior to the infallible person, meaning superior to both the supreme, unchanging Brahman, and the supreme person, Paramatma. Since we deduce the specific character of the object of worship from the specific character of the worshipper, according to the statement, Yoginam apisarvesham madgatenantaratmana. Thus, as indicated here by the word cha, Krishna is superior even to the Lord of Vaikuntha, in accordance with the statement, ete changsakala pungsa krishnas tu bhagavan svayam. Although the transcendental entity, whose essential identity is Satchidananda, is one only, and is designated by the terms Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, as stated in the 6th canto, 9th chapter, text 35, Sarup Dvaya Bhavat. Nevertheless, there is a functional difference, because we see differences among his worshippers in their means of worship and the results of their worship. Thus, he'll explain this. Thus, the worshippers of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan practice different sadhanas for the achievement of their respective goals, namely Jnana, Yoga, and Bhakti. And their results are different. The factual fruit of Jnana and Yoga is merely liberation, while the fruit of Bhakti is to become a loving associate of the Lord. Furthermore, without Bhakti, one cannot achieve liberation. by jnana or yoga. This we see from such statements as naishkarmyam api achutta bhava varjitam na shobhate. Right? You know this verse. It doesn't look very nice if it is without devotional service. And another verse from the 10th canto. In fact, worshippers of Brahman and Paramatma must perform Bhagavan's bhakti in order to achieve their results. Worshippers of the personality of Godhead, on the other hand, do not have to engage in worship of Brahman or Paramatma to get their desired results. This is indicated by statements such as Nagyanam Nachai Vairagyam Prayashrayo Bhavad Iha Bhagavatam 11:20-31. And yat karma bir yat tabasa jnana vairagya tascha yat bhagavatam. Well, these are from the 11th canto, chapter 20, verses 31, 32, and 33, he quotes. 11:20, 31 to 32. It's in the Uddhava Gita. What is achieved by that sadhana that lead to the four perfections of life? All of that a person achieves without doing these sadhanas if he simply takes shelter of Narayan. Thus, by worship of the personality of Godhead, one can achieve the results of all endeavors, svarga, mukti, prema, and so on. By worship of Brahman or Paramatma, however, one cannot achieve prema. Therefore, even though Brahman and Paramatma are none different from Bhagavan, Bhagavan is said to be superior to both of them. Now he explains it further. This is like the comparison of a flame, a lamp, and a blazing fire, which are all the same in the sense of being manifestations of light. A lamp, a flame, a lamp, and a blazing fire. Among the three, however, fire is considered the most important due to its removing distress from cold. Right? I mean, you might have a lamp, but it's not going to help you in the winter to get warm. It can help you to see. And a little flame can also help you to see, but it's not going to give you warmth like a blazing fire. And superior to the blazing fire is the sun. Similarly, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the topmost absolute reality. Furthermore, nirvana moksha, the achievable results of worshipping Brahman, was given even to persons who are envious of Krishna, such as Agha, Baka, and Jarasandha, who are greatly sinful persons. Therefore, Srila Sridhar Swami has correctly commented on the verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Even Madhusudan Saraswati Pad, who is a Mayavadi, by the way, even the Mayavadi, Madhusudan Saraswati, has established the supremacy of Sri Krishna. When he made such statements, now he quotes some verses from, I'll read one of the verses. Krishna's personal form is composed of Satchidananda. His effulgence is the color of a rain cloud. He is the essence of the message of the Shrutis and is the prized necklace of the Brajagopis. He's a Mayavadi, wow. He is the means of crossing the ocean of material existence for those whose intelligence is well developed. He has repeatedly assumed incarnations to destroy the burden of the earth. Therefore, you who are expert in beginning appropriate endeavors, please worship him appropriately. Wow. And another verse. I do not know any reality higher than the lotus-eyed Sri Krishna, whose hand is adorned with a flute, who appears like a new rain cloud, who wears yellow garments, whose lips appear like reddish bimber fruits, and whose beautiful face appears like the full moon. He's the same. He's a Mayavadi. But he still establishes Krishna. That's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from him. Because, you know, if even he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Person, then even the Mayavadis have no, you know, argument. So then he says, various shastras, again from Madhusudan, various shastras give evidence of the wonderful glories of Sri Krishna. Those who cannot tolerate this are fools and are destined to go to hell. These statements of Sri Madhusudan Saraswati have established the excellence of Sri Krishna. Therefore, it is improper to voice one's disagreement with this explanation of the three Gita verses, 16 to 18. So you can see he's this very scholarly and very convincing tika that he's given. So now we are on verse 19, and we will read the Sanskrit and translation. Yo mam evam sammudho janati purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajanti mam sarva bhavena bharata. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharat. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that if someone disagrees with the meaning that the Lord has established, the Lord responds, they argue because they are bewildered by my maya, but sadhus are asammudha, they are unbewildered. To explain the symptoms of such sadhus, the Lord speaks this shloka. So, yomam evam asammudho janati purushottama. The sadhus know me as Purushottam, and they are not bewildered. So Purushottam here means the best among the three Purusha avatars. So, and such a person, sasarva vid bhajati mam, he knows everything and he worships me with all his hearts, with all his mood of love, with all his love in his heart. So I wrote in Gitamrita, you've explained this point clearly, yet still many people argue over who is the Supreme. What is the reason for this? So then the Lord says, they are bewildered by my maya. Right? But the devotees are asamudho. They don't have any bewilderment. And Vishnu Chakravarti says, even if such persons have studied all the Vedas, if they do not understand that I am the Supreme, then they are simply fools. However, my devotee, even if presented strong arguments that I am not the Supreme, he is never bewildered and still has faith in me. My devotee is considered all knowledgeable, even if he has never studied the Vedas, because he knows the essence of the Vedas. Purushottam. And 19, we also have, oh yeah, and then he says that if another person who has studied much but doesn't know Krishna as the Supreme, he's bewildered. One who knows me in this way, he worships me with all his devotion. But one who doesn't know me as the Supreme, but still worships me, he doesn't worship me at all. And Baladeva Nibhushan gives a very interesting. He says, to give the fruit of one who knows Krishna's Purushottam, Krishna speaks this verse. Some person may have the name Ashvakarna, one who has a horse ear, but he doesn't really have a horse's ear. But don't think I am Purushottam like that, Arjuna. One who knows me really as Purushottam, he is called Asamudha, unbewildered. He must understand, as I've explained it myself, one who understands the meaning of these three verses is all knowledgeable, sarvavit. He knows the topmost purport of the Vedas as to know me, and such a person worships me with all his heart, temperament, and devotion. One who knows the meaning of the Vedic statements and process of devotion, but who has doubts about me being the Personality of Godhead, such a person, although he knows all the Vedas, is a fool. And even though he worships me, he is a non-devotee. So Krishna gives the highest position to his devotees. Even if he never studied the Vedas, he's still considered sasarvavit, because bhajati mam, he worships me. Because Krishna is Vedanta Krit, Vedavit, Eva Chaham, and he is Vedyo. Vidya. He is the goal of the Vedas also. Vedaischa sarve aham eva vidya. So since Krishna is the goal of the Vedas, one who worships Krishna, he means he understands the essence or the purport of the Vedas. But as in the case of a non-devotee, even though he may know all the Vedas, if he doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Worshipable Object, and even though he may worship Krishna, but still he doesn't worship Krishna at all, and Krishna doesn't accept his worship, he says he's a non-devotee. So these are very strong points about the power of bhakti and the power of faith in the heart of a devotee. How that type of faith and love and conviction in Krishna brings him above all of the practitioners of all other yoga systems and all learned persons, all Vedantists. Even a new bhakta is considered supreme over all of the other types of yogis and scholarly persons. And Prabhupada confirms this also in his commentary. In the last paragraph, the word bhajati is significant. In many places, the word bhajati is expressed in relation to the service of the Lord. If a person is engaged in full Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, it is to be understood that he has understood all the Vedic knowledge. In the Vaishnava parampara, it is said that if one is engaged in bhakti to Krishna, then there is no need for any other spiritual process for understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. He has already come to the point because he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He has ended all preliminary processes of understanding. But if anyone, after speculating for hundreds and thousands of lives, does not come to the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that one has to surrender there, all his speculation for so many years and lives is a useless waste of time. Hare Krishna. Sadhu Sabdhan. Don't waste your time. Just surrender to Krishna. Now, the last verse. This is the conclusion of the chapter. You see the word iti means thus, therefore. Iti guyatamam shastram idam uktam mayaraga etad budva budhiman syat kritta krityascha bharata. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So in these 20 shlokas, I have expounded the most secret doctrine of Shastra, Krishna says, according to Vishnu Chakravarti. And so this is guhyatamam. According to the Shastric knowledge, this is guhyatamam. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essence of all Vedantic knowledge. And he says, I'm telling you now, O sinless one Arjuna, so you will be able to understand this. And etad budva, having known this, then buddhiman said, you become a very genuine, learned person. And kritta krityas chabharata, everything you do will become perfect. Prabhupada writes in his commentary here, the Lord clearly explains here that this is the substance of all revealed scriptures, and one should understand this as it is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Skipping down a few sentences, devotional service is a process of spiritual understanding, a spiritual understanding between the devotee and the Lord. Wherever devotional service exists, the material contamination cannot coexist. Devotional service to the Lord and the Lord Himself are one and the same because they are spiritual. Devotional service takes place within the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. So everyone must take to this consciousness of Krishna and engage in devotional service to become intelligent and purified. The word anaga, by which Arjuna is addressed, is significant. Anaga, sinless one, means that unless one is free from all sinful reactions, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. One has to become free from all contaminations, all sinful activities, then he can understand. This is actually from Baladeva Vidyabhushan's idea. But bhakti is so pure and potent that once one is engaged in bhakti, automatically comes to the stage of sinlessness. So you can begin and become sinless and then understand Krishna. And Prabhupada continues. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is weakness of the heart. That's called Hridaya Darbalya. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it material nature, it becomes attached to matter and the possessions of man. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of heart. In this chapter, the first five verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of heart. And the rest of the chapter, from the sixth verse through the end, discuss Purushottam Yoga. So this is also from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. I think you know that he has given this description of the anarthas as Hridaya Darbalya. And he writes that there's three such weaknesses. He said that the first is to enjoy maya by misusing the freedom given by the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions that the desire to lord it over matter or maya. So the desire to enjoy maya by misusing our freedom. And that's how we get in the material world. Then the second one is attachment for the sense objects. As Prabhupada says, he becomes attached to matter and the possessions. That means sense objects. And the third one is that he becomes attached to the material world itself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all other anarthas are generated from these three weaknesses of heart. Hridaya Daubalya. Let us read the commentaries. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this chapter establishes the distinction between spirit and matter and shows that among the threefold manifestations of Akshara Purushas, the Sarup of Purushottam Sri Krishna is the supreme reality. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, the essence of chapter 15 is Lord Hari is superior and different from both conditioned and liberated living entities. And he also says, this knowledge shouldn't be taught to unqualified persons. And thus Krishna speaks this verse. One should be anaga, sinless. These three verses are Tri Shloki Shastra. I have spoken them to you because you are my supreme devotee, Arjuna. Then these are the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Don't speak these to unqualified people. By knowing this, a person will become realized. He will have realized knowledge after he gets knowledge by hearing. Thus Krishna glorifies this chapter dealing with Purushottam. The essence of this chapter is Lord Hari is superior and different from both conditioned and liberated entities. So there was some question about the previous chapter and in the last two verses. Especially when Krishna says Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate Mamcha Yovya Vicharina Bhakti Yogin Sagunan Samiti Yaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. And then he said that Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Amritasya Vyavyasya, that he is the foundation of Brahman. So now Krishna has very firmly established that point, that he is the Pratishta of not only Brahman, but he also expands as inferior or partial portion as Paramatma. And these are described in all of the Vedic teachings. And he's described how he manifests in all of these different forms in chapter 15, and how the Purushottam, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna is the highest form. And then one who accepts Krishna as such, that he knows everything. He has already studied all of the Vedas, like we know in the Bhagavatam, Aho Bhatta Shvapacho Tugariya, Yajiva Greya Vartute, Namatubhyam, Tepus Tepus, Te Juhuvu Sasnur Arya, Brahmana Chu Brahma Namagrinanti Yete, Juhuvu, right? Those who are from Juhu, right, who perform sacrifices, right, to begin the preaching in India. Yeah, in Juhu, the place of sacrifice. The devotees came there and had to perform these very austere sacrifices to establish the preaching in Maharashtra. So even though many of them did not speak Sanskrit or understand even any shlokas, but somehow they understood that Rasa Bihari is the Supreme Lord, and then it's understood that they have somehow or other, and the holy name is dancing on the tip of their tongue, Namagrananti Yete, that they have understood all of the Vedas, Sarvavid Bhajati Imam, Sarva Bhavana Bharata, and they worship the Lord with all their heart. So we can see how even simple persons, even people from Malacha countries, can actually come to such a high level because Krishna, he elevates them. Even though they have no qualification, they have no samskars, they have no training, they have no culture, they have nothing. But they just have some faith and love for Krishna, and somehow Krishna does he elevates them. Because he's looking for Krishnaika Sharanam. When they surrender, if someone's Sharanagata Vaishnava, then Krishna's picking this main thing as the most important quality of all of the characteristics of Vaishnava. But someone who surrenders to Krishna, it conquers the heart of Krishna. And thus Krishna elevates that person and gives his blessings. So you can see the nature of Bhagavan is being very philosophically and systematically presented in this chapter. And thus it is called Purushottam Yoga. Okay, so we'll stop now. Thank you. There's some questions? Like a Mayavadi? Or some, those who worship philosophical Vishnu, that we were talking about this before, this Panchopasanak. Panchopasaka, I guess you can call it. These people, they actually worship Vishnu, or some worship Krishna. They may even be Mayavadis. They may even be chanting the name of Krishna. But they're not considered devotees, and Krishna doesn't elevate them, and he doesn't accept their offerings. But usually, if a simple person worships someone, it's because he accepts that person as the Supreme. Isn't it? Why would they worship Krishna unless they accept him as Supreme? Mayavadis have the idea that his form is Sattva-Gun Roop, not Sham Roop. Yeah. Yeah. So they're not actually worshiping Krishna. Because Krishna's, he's this Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He's accepting only the mood, the understanding. Prabhupada's devotional service is the understanding. So the person just has this concept, this idea. He's that Krishna's God and I'm his servant. And in this way, he's offering his love and his service to the Supreme. And that understanding is very important. Very important. And these other people, they don't have that. The Mayavadis or some other twisted persons like the Pancha Upasakas, then they're not going to get the same benefit as a devotee who's doing bhakti. Even if it's a little mixed with karma measure or whatever, but at least, you know, maybe a nishkam karma mishra, jnana mishra, pradani bhuta bhakta. Right? But he's better than a mayavadi. He's better than a pancha upasaka, or he's better than other persons. But usually when simple people worship Krishna, they have the idea that he's Bhagavan. But they may offend the Lord by thinking that the demigods are on the same level. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrari Daivatai Samadvena Vikshita Sa Pushandi Bhavadruvam. So if they make aparad, then they won't get their fruit. They have to understand that he is above, in a Pratita Purushottamaha, that he is the supreme Uttama Purusha, above all the Devas, and even Narayan. So what to speak of, you know, all the other Purusha avatars, and what to speak of the demigods. That's why Prabhupada said devotional service is a process of spiritual understanding. What's the basis of faith? Well, it's called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Those who have some Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, or devotional piety, then they develop faith. Shadha is the first thing. Yadruchaya madkatado jata shradas tuya puma. Yadruchaya. How do they get it? Somehow or other, by the goodwill of the Lord, by the providence, by good luck. Yadruchaya means by its own will. Yadruchaya madkatado. Someone gets a little shraddha to hear about Krishna. But this is, when you boil it down, it comes to this bhakti and mukhi sukriti. That means they hear the harinam, or they get a little prasadam somehow. Yes, a lot of Hindus, they have tulsi, and they do something, you know. This is also bhakti mukhi sukriti. They're building up their bhakti unmukhi sukriti. It's not actually bhakti, but it's a sukriti which leads. Unmukhi means the lead ones to bhakti. And sometimes they give a donation, or they get a book, or they read some shloka like this. They hear some recitation. They're Shruti Parayana, as described in chapter 13. They hear some Katakarwala give some talk about Ram. Something like that. So the bhakti builds up. And then at some point they think, I want to serve the Lord completely. I want to offer my heart to him. And then they become a bhakta. And they come to number 4, Tarapur Road. Why, this one lady, she married Sri Navadvip, and she was a Zoroastrian lady, right, a Parsi. And she, you know, she used to come back and forth, and she used to see the ISKCON sign. She said, and people used to ask her to come, why don't you come there? She said, I won't go there. Those people are crazy. You know. But then Navadvip brought her here, invited her, and then he said, she said, well, okay. And so then finally she came, and immediately she had enough bhakti mukhi sukriti to get some faith. And then when she came to the temple, she said, I couldn't believe this place. I never want to leave this place. Then I could understand that, you know, the Lord has brought me here, and I never want to leave like this. It's a revelation. So that's like this bhakti mukhi sukriti. It builds up, it builds up, it builds up. And like a cloud, it gets really dark and heavy, and then it just bursts. And then it rains. Then the bhakti comes. The rain of mercy comes. So that's how the shraddha builds up. And that's why Prabhupada wanted us to do all these things, preaching and distribute books, going Harinam, distribute prasadam, because we're giving out that sukriti. And so this lady was not brought up as a Hindu, and so you know, she had some different, she has a different idea about the Lord. And but now she accepts Kunja Bihari as the Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. The faith? Faith, knowledge, and also rati. Or priti, I forget the word. But love or attachment to the Lord is also there. If you look in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's different vichara, considerations of one's adhikar. Yeah, the main thing is faith and knowledge. But there's also attachment, priti also. It's more like vijnana. There's some realization. No, some people are too simple to go into like a deep study, they're, like we say, Shruti Parayana. But they can develop faith by hearing. But we encourage them to try to understand as much as they can about the philosophy. And if they endeavor to read Prabhupada's books, which are very simple, then they'll get something. They'll get some understanding. I mean, obviously, they're not going to understand like all the points we're going through now. But they'll get something. And the Lord will, when the Lord sees them, you know, seriously endeavoring, then He gives them some understanding in the heart. So all different kinds of people, they can come to Krishna. Even they're not so philosophical. Yes, Sankirtan Prabhu. Prabhupada or I think the Baladev didn't go to that detail. Whether they're like sadhana siddha or nitya siddha, they didn't describe. But I think he did mention the word nitya mukta in his tika. Yeah, when he becomes liberated and he goes back to the kingdom of God, then he attains that position. Because then Krishna says he never comes back again. Yad gadva nadivartante. You mean the position he's in? There's no conditioning.
A circumstance.
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described that the jivas which are serving Krishna in Goloka, they emanate from Baladev. So they're nitya siddha, they're sarup shaktis of the Lord. And the living entities that serve the Lord in Vaikuntha, they come from Sankarshan. So they're also ever liberated, nitya mukta, nitya siddha parikars of Vaikuntha Nath. And the tatashta jivas emanate from Mahavishnu at this lower region, somewhat lower region of the spiritual sky. So those tatashta jivas, when they... There's no point in time, but anyway, how can we describe it? They emanate and they see Maya Shakti and Chit Shakti, and some gravitate towards Maya Shakti and others gravitate towards Chit Shakti. Because some have some slight desire for enjoying the Maya Shakti. They want to be the Lord, kind of, you know. That's it. From Mahavishnu. The other two he describes, as I remember, that they're nitya siddha, or they're nitya siddha parikars, or sarup shaktis of the Lord. Yeah, means that. So we're the tatashta jivas means that they also emanate at the tatashta region. And then they can go either way. But the other ones, they don't. They never fall down. So they would be, according to Baladev and our Srila Prabhupada, the Akshara Purusha. Yeah. But Prabhupada even says that in this world, using the word loke, you know, well, anyway, he's one of those nitya siddha parikars in this world, so maybe that's why he translated the word in that way. But usually they don't come to this place, you know. But, you know, when Prabhupada was in, he was held in quarantine in Bombay. He was coming back from Nigeria or someplace, or Laos, I forget, Laos. And and it was Bhavananda. He forgot to bring the medical certificate, you know. Then they said, "We're sorry, Swamiji, but we have to put you in quarantine for 3 weeks." So, you know, they put Prabhupada, and Bhavananda went with him to serve him. So Prabhupada was staying there, and during that time, you know, Prabhupada just accepted it. He just started writing and doing things. But Prabhupada was there. He told Bhavananda, he said, "I didn't want to come to this place." And then Bhavananda said, "Well, I'm really sorry, I forgot the card." And then Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this material world. I didn't want to come to this place, and I told Krishna, but Krishna told me, he asked me to come." And I said that, but it's, there's so many austerities that one has to perform that in such a place. Krishna said, "Don't worry, I will make everything nice for you. You just go there and write those books, and I'll take care of everything. So here I am." And then Bhavananda moved closer, hoping that he'll say something more, you know, more about it. So, but, you know, Prabhupada came from Goloka, you know. So, anyway, he has this idea that there's this, the Akshara, he's more in tune with the Akshara Purusha than we are. Something else? Yes. Which one do you want to hear? Which one do you... Oh, which one you're supposed to know? You can write any one you like. Huh? We'll give extra points if you can write all three. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Baladev. Prabhupada also describes the same as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that says the first five verses describe detaching oneself to get free from these weaknesses of heart, and from verse 6 to the end is all Purushottam Yoga. Right? Verse 6 is Natad Bhasyate Suryo Na Shanko Napara. Because Krishna is speaking as Bhagavan. He's not just talking. Before, he was talking about the living entities that are in the world, that these, you know, Kshara Purushas, and how they're suffering. And how, if they surrender, you know, they're trying to understand the beginning. If they surrender to the Supreme Person, and then they do this sadhana, nirmana moha jida sanga dosha, then they can come to that supreme place. And he describes it from text 6. And then he says, as that place is mine, that abode, as that abode is mine, the jivas are also mine. But unfortunately, they are bound in the material world. They're being pulled by the mind and the senses. So then he's describing this Kshara Jiva in the transmigration section. Where's my notebook? Did they bring that? So here, now he's talking about the Kshara Jiva, this from verse 7, right? He's saying that there's suffering in the material world, Karshati, Prakriti Stani Karshati. And then he describes how that happens, transmigration. And that's from 6 to 11. Actually, it starts from 8, but the sections are 1 to 5. Becoming detached from the material world. Then section 2 is transmigration from 6 to 11. And then the third section is called Krishna as maintainer, from 12 to 15. And the last section, 4, summary of Vedanta Sutra from 16 to 20. So we have 4 sections. So, third one, Krishna as maintainer, 12 to 15. So Krishna's spending a lot of time talking about Prakriti and the Jiva, like he said, Mamaya Vangsa Jiva Loke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, right? So Jiva Loke means the Jiva in Prakriti, right? This is what it's about. Mamaya Vangsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So the words Jiva Loke, it's very clear that he's talking about the living entity in the material world. So this is the Sambandha Gyan, Jiva and Prakriti. This is like the same subject as chapter 14, right? The Acharyas have said that this is the highest knowledge about Jiva and Prakriti. So Krishna says also Jiva Loke. He's talking about the living entity in the material world and how if he surrenders to the Supreme Person, he can come to that beautiful place. But unfortunately, he's struggling because he's conditioned in this world in so many ways. And then he describes how that happens. Shariyam yad avapnoti, he gets a body. Utkramant, there's different verses there. Utkramantam stitam vapi bunjanam vagvinanvitam. So he's enjoying the vimura nanupasyanti pasyanti gyan chakshusha. Then shotram shakshu sparshanam cha. Or I miss one. What's that one? The one before shotram chakshu? It's akrita atmana. Yatanto yoginam chayanam pashanti atmanyavastitam yatanto parkritatmano nainam pashanti achetasa. And then the next, so he's describing this, okay, there's this thing, the jiva is here, he's going to different bodies, he's taking all these things with him, you can't see them, right? Only the yogis can understand all this. And then Arjuna says, well, what about, you know, what can be done about this? And Krishna says, I can give them knowledge by which they can see. And so is there a way that people who don't have knowledge can understand you? Yes, I come as the sun. Yadaditya katam tejo. I come as the sun, the moon, and fire. With the same things that I don't need, I said I don't need in my abode. But here it's needed. So the living entities are dependent on these. I come in as this. So then he's describing how he helps those living entities who don't have knowledge. Up to the point of Sarvasya Chahamrini Sanivishnu. He gives knowledge and forgetfulness and remembrance. But he comes as Bhagavan Vedavyas, and he gives the Vedas, and then he gives the Vedanta. And those who know Purushottam, they can come out of this mess, of the entanglement of the banyan tree. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oh.